chapter 19, verses 1 to 21. Our devotion tonight, guarding against depression. We are touching on a very interesting topic, a topic that is pertinent in a fast-paced society like Singapore. Two thoughts: source and sign of depression, verses 1 to 4 and verse 10, verses 5 to 21, successful treatment for depression, keeping close to God, rest and refreshing, comfort and instruction. The word depression describes feelings of severe despondency and dejection when self-doubt creeps in and swiftly turns the mind, the heart, in a downward slide. Words that describe depression includes melancholy, misery, sadness, unhappiness, sorrow, woe, gloom, gloominess, dejection. These are some of the dictionary synonyms that describe this emotional state of a person: downheartedness, despondency, desperateness, heavy-heartedness, discouragement, despair, desolation, moodiness. We always say someone is moody. You can see that the spirit is not good. Hopelessness. The Mayo Clinic, this is a clinical definition, a definition that the world would use to define what is depression. Depression is a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest, and also major depressive disorder or clinical depression. It affects how you feel, think, and behave, and can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems. You can have trouble doing normal day-to-day activities, and sometimes you may feel as if life isn't worth living. More than that, just a bout of the blues, depression isn't a weakness. You can't simply snap out of it. Depression may require long-term treatment, but don't get discouraged. Most people with depression feel better with medication, psychological counseling, or both. This is what the world would do, right, when they are faced with situations whereby they don't know what to do, right? Problems which they don't know how to solve, and the issue goes round and round in the head, round and round, and suddenly, you know, the person feels that the situation is hopeless, right? He has no solution, nowhere to go. The Christian writer Jane Hunt saw the cure of depression. Right? She described it as walking from darkness into the dawn. You know, dawn is the darkest moment before the first light, right? The beginning of the day. Right? And it's interesting, our series is called what? Light in the Midst of Darkness. Right? Israel was in the midst of great spiritual apostasy, great spiritual darkness. And she commented very interestingly. She said, "Have the dark clouds of depression poured their tears upon your soul? Are you emotionally stuck, muddled in your mind, mired in your emotions? Do you feel isolated and alone? Think of what Elijah was going through, right? Do you feel isolated and alone, afraid that no one understands? If so, you are not alone. People from all walks of life have languished under the black clouds of depression." And she further observed, "Can anything bring back the white clouds of contentment?" And then she went on to look at scriptures, and she cited the example of King David. He says, "No stranger to depression discovered the answer. He learned how to exchange the darkness of despair for the light of hope. Again and again, when his soul was downcast, he intentionally change his focus. He continually riveted his focus on the faithfulness of his Savior, his Redeemer, his God. Three times, and in three different verses, David asked himself the same question. Three times he followed with the same answer. Psalm 42, verse 5 and 6. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Well, this is a talk within David's heart as he feels the pressure, as he feels the severe darkness overwhelming his life situation. He saw that things was not going well. He could lose his life anytime, and he was under constant pressure, just like Elijah. Right? He was under constant pressure from Ahab and Jezebel. He was a hunted man, right? Since the day when he spoke to Ahab and told him that there will be no rain in Israel for a prolonged period of time. For years, you will not have rain. Oh, that pronouncement caused him to be the most hated man in Israel. And he had to run for his life. Oh my God, my heart, my soul is cast down, David said, within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizah. He says, I remember the Lord. Every time he feels depressed, he has to remind himself to come back to God. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? For I shall yet praise him. He is the health of my countenance and my God. So how do you have emotional stability, spiritual stability? It's when we have the Lord as the health of our countenance. And Psalm 43, verse 5, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And so you ask yourself, what is depression? As you look through the scriptures, you see Paul describing his own life in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. What was he doing? It was during the missionary trips that he faced many aggressive persecutors who wanted his life. And he said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despair even of life. Sometimes the pressures in life can come upon you such that it becomes so great, you feel it overwhelming you. Right? Because you know there's no, you know in your own heart, by your own strength, that there's no solution. And you are feeling so helpless. You know, you are feeling so much in a state whereby, you know, you just don't know where the solution is going to come from. Our Lord Jesus says, you know, he can come through the cares of life. Right? The cares of life can overwhelm us. Right? He says, take heed to yourselves. Luke 21:34. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, be overwhelmed, right, with surfeiting, with drunkenness, with the cares of life. Can the Christian suffer from depression? Yes, from the pressures of life, from the cares of life. Then you said, but isn't the Christian supposed to be the most joyous people on earth, the most hopeful people? Yes, they are. But there are times when they can depart from that joyfulness. And we see this in the life of Elijah. And just want to quote you from Jean Han again. She said that you feel the pressure of an emotional heaviness weighing down the heart. The Apostle Paul used the word to be pressed and weighed down, to feel an immense emotional pressure and severe hardship that he and Timothy suffered at the hands of those who opposed Christ. Our character, Elijah, you recall, just had or experienced great spiritual victory when he challenged the Baal prophets. Right? He had just won a great victory. Fire came down from heaven. God showed his power to show proof that he is the living and true God. And you know, all this time he was trying to prove to the people, he had to run. And God said, no, now you stand and now you will challenge them at Carmel. And so he did. He challenged them. And you know, God gave him a resounding victory. So he was in a high point, right? In his spiritual experience with God. So how come? You know, that's in chapter 18. Now we are in chapter 19, this thing happened. Okay, then you look at what happened last week, you recall. We were studying how, you know, Elijah prayed. Then God gave the rain, right? Suddenly, you know, there was a little hand in the horizon. It was a cloud forming. And before long, the rain came. How God answered his prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wow. So after all this spiritual, so-called victory and, you know, spiritual high, how come something like that happened? We want to study so that we can be fortified, you know, to guard against the onset of depression. And we want to observe the life of Elijah. What happened? How is it that this can take place in her life or in his life? You know, and the Lord wants us to see and understand and find a solution to to how we can be helped. Right? We see him now in our text, suffering from discouragement, despondency, depression. He was overwhelmed. Two thoughts, source and sign of depression, successful treatment for depression. And Ahab told Jezebel, verse 1, that what Elijah had done, with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And verse 2 says, Elijah sent a messenger, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more, so if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So he says to him that you kill my prophets, you will be a dead man by this time tomorrow. So it was a threat. But you see, right at that moment when Elijah heard that, how did he respond? You think of it. Well, he responded by just, you know, packing up and run. You didn't notice, you know, any in-between statements whereby he sought the Lord, whereby he prayed, whereby he, you know, did something to inquire of the Lord what to do. He didn't do that. He just turned around and he ran all the way down south, you know, from Carmel, which is by the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, right up north. He ran all the way to Beersheba. Beersheba is the southernmost tip, yeah, southernmost tip of, you know, the Promised Land, right? Near the wilderness already. And as if that is not enough, you know, after he reached Beersheba, he took another one day's journey into the wilderness. Then he went under a tree. And he sat down under that little, you know, solitary tree, and he began to wallow. He began to wallow, you know, in self-pity. What happened? How did it happen? Why did he, you know, end up like that? Right? That is something that we want to study tonight. Okay? And he went his way, verse 4 tells us, a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down upon a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. You mean a Christian is allowed to commit suicide? Is it a right thing to do? Is it a right thought to have? Isn't he supposed to be a prophet of God? Isn't he supposed to be a man of God, endowed with the power of God? Did he not have such great spiritual victory just a while ago? Did he not forget that God's power can flow through him? Why did it happen? How did he end up in this state? Right? He says, it is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He fell in exhaustion under the shade of a solitary tree, alone, overwhelmed. He was despaired even of his very life. He did not want to live anymore. Is there cause for such thought? Did he not see that he had just defeated the Baal prophets? And how could he be so foolish as to even surmise that God is not able to now take care of him? Did he not see and realize that God has been in control, helping him by his almighty power since he was called to confront Ahab? Right? So all these thoughts must come into our mind when we think of the situation with Elijah now. What caused him to fall into that kind of a depression that he would be even, you know, considering to take his own life? Can he not trust God to take care of him now? So you see, from a spiritual peak, he fell to a spiritual low, a spiritual depression. Did he forget how God had delivered him from Carmel or at Carmel? How could he forget? So as you analyze his situation, you realize that he has been in a state of tension and pressure for a long time. For 3.5 years, he had been on the run. So he has been on his toes all the time. And at that one point in time, you see how he buckled. His so-called resilience fell through. And as you think of it, you look at his situation, you see that, you know, he's obviously a very tired man. He was very exhausted. Okay. And sometimes when we are physically exhausted, we are emotionally exhausted, we are spiritually exhausted, as it were. You know? Spent, as it were. Because of the constant pressure that we come under, sometimes we just simply buckle under the pressure and go into that state. And you notice, you know, how the Lord was not angry with him, but how the Lord slowly helped him to come back. How the Lord was with him to strengthen him. Right, verse 10 says, you know, God asked him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then he said in verse 10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So at that moment, he suddenly, you know, had a thought in his heart, right? A wrong thought, right? In the sense that, you know, he did not analyze the big picture. He did not see, you know, the situation from God's viewpoint, right? When God called him, surely God is going to give him the victory, right? God is going to empower him. God is going to help him. But why is it that, you know, he became so withdrawn suddenly, right? So you see him, as it were, we said, wallowing in self-pity. He was in a state of self-deceit, as one author called it, a victim mentality. He was overwhelmed physically, mentally, emotionally. He was exhausted. Spiritually, he was unable to see God for who he is. And there are some times in our life when we can be in that state. This great prophet of God was in this state. So don't think that you cannot. All right? But you watch how the Lord helped him. What did the Lord do to restore and strengthen and give, nourish and rejuvenate the prophet again? Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, and then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. What did he do? What did God do? Well, God nourished him. God brought him a good meal. You know, nourished him. There was cake and there was water placed right at his side. He was a hungry man, you may say, weary man. And so sometimes we need that kind of a physical refreshing. You see how the Lord refreshed Elijah? And the angel of the Lord came again and the second time and touched him and said, arise and did eat and drink. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto the Horeb, the Mount of God. Then he went into the cave and hid. He was in a state of depression. Lodged there. Alone. Remember, he had a servant with him. He told his servant, you stay behind at Beersheba. And she went alone. He doesn't want any company. Don't feel like talking to anybody. Somehow, you know, he just wants to be alone. And so what did God do? God refreshed his servant. And how did he do that? Well, he provided for him food and physical rest, nourishment, refreshment. The Lord did not chide him, but nourished him, strengthened him. You know, as he did that, he must have been reminded again of what the Lord did for him when he first ran away, or after, you know, when he had to hide from Ahab. The Lord brought him to the brook Cherith, right? And what happened there? The Lord provided a catering service for him day, morning and evening. Right? The ravens brought food for him. Water came from the brook, right? Flowing all the time. So he was reminded of the faithfulness of God. He was reminded that God will not leave him dry. God will not forsake him. How is it that this God who had defeated Baal's prophet now, you know, will be defeated by Jezebel's threats? Not logical, right? But why did he buy into the threat? Why did fear overwhelm Elijah? What happened? Well, the Lord was there to be with him, and the Lord asked him what was the cause of his depression. And he said that, "I'm alone. I'm alone." And he says, "I'm in a desperate situation." And what did the Lord do? It's interesting, the Lord brought him to Mount Horeb. Where is Horeb? Well, that's the same mount in which God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. Right? By thunder, by lightning, God showed his presence to Israel. And he gave to Moses the Ten Commandments. And the Lord said to him in verse 18, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And so as you look at it, you realize, you know, God was slowly bringing him back to strength again. God strengthened him physically, and then God gave him a time of rest to refresh him, and then God reasoned with him. God said to him, you know, that you're not alone. I have still 7,000 who have not bowed the knees to Baal. 7,000! Oh, that's a lot, you know. Right? Remember 450 Baal prophets who sat at Ahab's table and 400 other at Jezebel's table. So these are all the priests. But the Lord said, "I have 7,000. Sometimes we think, you know, as we walk with God, that we are alone in our whatever that God has called us to do, whatever work that, you know, God has put in our hands to do. We feel as if His strength is not enough for us. We feel as if His strength, you know, is not able to see us through. Sometimes it's because we are just too exhausted physically. We are too exhausted emotionally. You know? And we needed a time of refreshing. We needed a time of strengthening. And you see how, you know, the Lord was so gentle with him. And the Lord helped him to see God for who He is again. What did God do? Well, God showed him by a whirlwind, by an earthquake, by a fire, to remind him, you know, that he's not alone, that God is with him. And then God spoke to him in a still small voice. Verse 12. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the earthquake, after the fire, a still small voice. Sometimes we are so overwhelmed, you know, that we are not ready to hear. Even when God would speak. And so we want to realize also that we are not alone. As a child of God, you are not alone in your journey of life. You know, God is with you. He is there to help you. What makes you think that in this situation He's not going to help you through? Is His hand too short? Is He not able to deliver this time? How is it that, you know, we are overwhelmed? We can become overwhelmed. Well, sometimes the pressures come in life and they can cause us to be sidestepped. I'll use the word. And so the Lord, you see, helped him, strengthened him spiritually, right, physically, and now spiritually. And then the Lord gave him work to do. And the Lord provided for him a companion in Elisha. And Elisha will be his minister so that he will not be alone in the work. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to Hazael to be king over Israel. To anoint Hazael to be king over Israel, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Hazael over Syria, and Jehu the new king. God has a work for him to do, and God strengthened him, and God provided for him. And so we want us to see that Christians can, you know, be caught in a depression, right, when he takes his eyes off the Lord. Instead of trusting God, he was overwhelmed by what took place. And the Lord wants us to keep ourselves close to him. To be close to him. And we need to appropriate the means of grace whereby we can be close to God. A midweek prayer meeting, your own quiet time with God, your time off. You know, all of us have leave, right, when you are working. Do you take time off to refresh yourself? Do you take time off to strengthen yourself physically, right, emotionally, to rest, so that, you know, you don't become exhausted, so exhausted that, you know, mind can't think straight anymore? Well, the Lord doesn't want us to go into that state, and He wants us to regulate our lives. Regulate as in be conscious, you know, of the things that can upset your walk with God. Right? For Elijah, you see, you know, the Bible says that he was a man like unto us. He is a man like us who suffers from weaknesses like us. And yet God used him so mightily. God can use you in your life for his glory. And surely he will use you as you yield yourself to him. Then you said, yeah, but you know, Elijah, look at the life of Elijah. He went through all this. What did he learn from that lesson? Well, he learned how to be strong again. He learned to pick himself up. And when he came back, you see how he would be a stronger person. Right? He would know what is his weakness, and he would not fall into it again. Right? He realized that he must, you know, take care of himself.
for us too. God has a work for you, you know, and you are serving Him in some one way or another in His vineyard. And the Lord wants you to continue to give glory to His name, to serve Him. And He does not want, you know, any situation in your life to cause you to think that, you know, God cannot do anything for you, that you are helpless, right? There's no solution for you. Sometimes we go into that state and emotionally we sit, you know, we become unstable. So we need to observe ourselves and we need to learn so that we can grow spiritually. Then we will be a stronger person. And next time when you meet someone, you know, who may have gone through or who is going through a difficult time, well, you know what to do. He says, I was there before. And how the Lord delivered me. And how I offer you this counsel from God's word, that it will work. It will help you. You do that. May God help us. Guarding against depression, source and sign of depression, successful treatment for depression, keeping close to God, rest and refreshing, comfort and instruction. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for once again granting us Thy mercy in the study of Thy word. May Thou continue to guide us so that we may indeed learn precious lessons out of Thy word to fortify ourselves, that we may indeed grow, walk from strength to strength. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.